Lovely. Great. Thanks, Gareth, for all the bits and pieces you have to do for me. Lovely to see you all here this morning, and welcome to you online. Shall we just pray? Okay. Still our hearts before God. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we can meet together. And I pray, Father God, that the power of your anointing would come upon me. And I pray that all of us, everyone, our hearts will be open to receive what you want to say to us this morning, Lord. That everyone here will receive something from you this morning. Amen. So I'm going to tell you something this morning that might surprise you, and it might actually alienate me from some of you, and that is, I loved school. I really loved school. My parents had no problems sending me to school. Now, I know what you're thinking. I was some academic whiz kid. I know you can see it, can't you? It's written all over me. I was destined for greatness in academia. Actually, that's not quite true. And I have to be honest this morning and tell you why I love school. What I loved was the extracurricular activities. Okay? So my extracurricular activities involved, I did the school bell at break times. I was a school librarian. I was one of the movers and shakers in the end of term concert. I was in the school netball team, and wait for this, I represented the school in the county sports for the 100 meters. Now, that all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Well, it isn't exactly. Because can you imagine me going to an employer and then them saying to me, what do you think you can bring to this company? And I'd say, well, if you've got a fire alarm bell, I've some experience in that. If you have like an extensive filing system and you want someone to hug the radiators, I'm your girl, because I've got a lot of years of experience of that. And if you do a firm's concert, I'm willing to lend a hand. I don't think I'd be very useful to them. You see, my problem was I didn't make the main thing the main thing. I went to school, but I didn't really concentrate on what I was meant to be there for. I didn't really realize I needed to get some qualifications to get out into the world. And it was only a friend of mine who very bluntly said to me one day, you're going to have to sort yourself out, because if you don't knuckle down, you're not going to have anything when you come out of school. Unfortunately, I took his advice. But I realized that I have this slight problem of being distracted. If I watch a crime program, which I really enjoy, I'll start off and then I start looking at the furnishings. I start looking at the curtains and the cushions and the lampshades and the rugs. And recently I saw a three-piece suite that was covered in exactly the same material that we had. And it only comes in cream, and it's a vintage look, 1999, and it comes from John Lewis. Of course, by this time I've completely lost the plot. And somebody in the room gets really irritated. And I have to say to them, oh, what's happened? And one day, Samantha said to me, Mum, you really need to concentrate. And so I try to. The thing was that when I went into Christianity, I sort of did the same thing again. It obviously was a slight character trait of mine. So I got launched into a brilliant church in Burgess Hill. But I focused on the sort of outer things of the church, in a sense. I loved the fellowship. I loved the mother and toddler group, the women's group. I love the worship and the praise and all these things, the fellowship. We were affiliated to the IBTI, the Bible College where Gareth teaches at. And in the summer, we used to go there and have a picnic, and the kids would take their bikes, and it was safe, and then we'd have a service afterwards. Well, this was all wonderful. But again, I didn't make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is this. It was missing from my life. And one day, I'd been saved a couple of years, and I met a woman. And she belonged to a Christian religious organization, shall I say. And she was trying to persuade me of a lot of things in a very forceful way. And I realized I didn't have anything to come back to her with. Something in my spirit was saying, what she's saying isn't quite right. But what really shocked me was, I didn't know why what she was saying wasn't right. And from that time on, I determined that I needed to know the Word of God. You know, Philippians 2 verse 16 says, hold fast the word of life. You know, the battle is on today for truth. I was talking to someone the other day, not a Christian, and they were sort of having their friends around discussing what truth meant to them. And it seems to me truth is whatever you want to make it to be. You make up your own truth, and then you plonk it on social media, and you'll probably get a following. But Jesus tells me in this word, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So this is the truth I need to know. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage of scripture about what Jesus says about the Word of God in your and my hearts. You know, sitting here, watching online, we've got four different types of hearts. And the question is this morning, what type of heart have you got? And if you'd got your phones or your Bibles, I believe we're going to put the scripture up here. It's Mark 4, verses 14 to 20. And this is the parable of the sower. And this is where Jesus talks about the farmer that goes and he scatters the seed, which is the word of God. But some of it fell on hard soil. Some of it fell on rocky soil. Some of it fell on soil that was full of thorns. And some of it fell on good soil. So let's just read this portion of scripture. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by their worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. The wonderful thing about the seed, the word of God, is God's an equal opportunity employer. We all get the same seed. The difference is, what are we going to do with it? You see, the state of my soil determines how much I value the seed. So it's up to me and my heart, and I show to God how much I value His word by what I'm doing with it. So the first one is the hard soil. Now the Bible says it talks about salvation, that people can hear the preached word, their hearts are hard, and so it doesn't sink in. As Mary Jane said the other week, David said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to hide the word, but these people don't. It just lies on the top of the soil and the Satan takes it away. You see, we can treat the word as familiar, not valuable. I could come up here this morning and I could say to you, you know what, I'm going to preach on Daniel and the lion's den, or Noah and the ark, or Joseph, and you could be thinking, I've heard that so many times. Here she goes, she's going to preach on that. We all know that. Why do I need to listen to that? And so my mind disappears and I'm on Sky Football this afternoon, you know, what teams are playing. Or I'm thinking Facebook, who haven't I scrolled through recently? And my mind is just gone because I've hardened myself to the Word of God. You know, if we don't take that seed in, birds will steal it. Have you ever had birds in your bedroom? I've had bats in my bedroom. And let me tell you, it's really not pleasant. But even worse than bats are crows. Have you ever had crows in your bedroom? Well, we lived in a house in Ireland where the crows occasionally fell down the chimney. And they're great, big, black, horrible things that leave enough deposit round your bedroom to make it a very unpleasant environment. So the crow would fall down and I would shoot under the duvet, woman of faith and power for the hour that I am. I shot under the duvet screaming because I just hate these things. And then I'd think a bit and then I'd get up screaming and run out the door and leave Tim to deal with it. You see, Tim's wonderful with creatures. If you've got anything that hops or crawls or slithers or anything like that, Tim's wonderful. He can deal with those things, but I can't. And do you know what? You know, the Bible talks about Satan here being like a bird that steals. If we harden our hearts to when we hear God's word, we are complicit with the enemy. We are allowing him to steal the word from our lives. Because we're saying, I'm not taking it in. I'm hardened to the word of God. I don't need that message. Perhaps it's convicting me right now, but I don't need it. I'm going to harden my heart. And Satan says, good, I'll pluck up the seed. You know, recently I read an autobiography by a woman called Jennifer Rees-Larkham. It's called A Journey into God's Heart, and I would highly recommend it. It's quite a personal autobiography, but really good. And Jennifer ministered from a wheelchair, and she had quite an extensive ministry. And she was ministering one day in a women's meeting, and it had come to refreshment time, and the people were going out. And this young girl came up. She'd been saved about a year or so. She'd had a dubious past. And she came to Jennifer and she said to her, I believe God wants me to pray for you because you are going to get healed. And Jennifer could have hardened her heart. I mean, she would have been polite, of course, and said, of course, dear, you pray for me. But she wouldn't necessarily have been in a position to receive. But Jennifer softened her heart. The girl prayed for her, and Jennifer was instantly, miraculously, completely healed. And she got up out of that wheelchair and walked because she didn't harden her heart. It is so important that we value the Word of God. So the next type of soil is the shallow soil. And this is when things initially look quite good. There's quite a lot of top growth. But sadly, the roots aren't going very deep. Sometimes this can happen with gifted people. particularly in ministry. They can come into church and they've got a wonderful gift. They can play an instrument fantastically. They can sing really well. They can prophesy powerfully. They can preach. All these things. And sometimes we can even encourage those people too much in their gifts in the early days because we don't allow them time to put down deep roots. You know, that's exactly what I was like. When I met this lady and she started giving me all this false doctrine, if I hadn't have had that witness in my Holy Spirit, I don't know where I'd be today. I don't know which organization I might be part of, what group I might have been drawn to, because I didn't put my roots down deep in the Word of God. You know, we cannot snack on the Word of God. It's not just a line here and a line there. We need to take plenty of the seed of the Word, as much as we can get, and bury it deep in our hearts, that we can build ourselves nice strong roots. And then the third type of soil is a heart filled with thorns, a thorn filled soil Jesus talks about. Do you know someone wants to dominate your heart and your life? Do you know someone's after your territory, your heart today? And what it is, it's the spirit of the world that we're living in. It wants to get hold of you and squeeze out and choke out any fruitfulness of the Word of God. You know, when the Israelites went into the promised land with Joshua, they knew they had to remove the inhabitants. They had to get rid of those people, otherwise they couldn't enjoy all the good fruit that God had for them. And it's the same for you and I. We have to be so diligent about the thorns that want to grow up in our lives and choke the Word of God. Jesus says, "You are not of this world." You see, this world is full of fear and anxiety. And you know what it's like? We've all been there. We get bad news, difficult situation, and it overwhelms and it overwhelms, and the thorns grow up and the thorns grow up, and we hear more bad news and we listen to stuff, and it's choking and choking and choking out the Word of God. And we have to be ruthless, that God's Word is more powerful in our lives than the words of the world. We can be caught up in wealth, bigger house, bigger cars, more fantastic wardrobe. I know that probably doesn't apply to most of you men, but you know, all these sort of things can get a hold of us, and they can get their tentacles around us and squeeze out the very life of God. And the desire for things, just stuff, fill our lives with stuff. You know, the world would have us fill our lives and focus on so many things that are not the Word of God. In the King James Version, it says, "The demands of this life want to choke us." Isn't that amazing? This world is demanding. It bombards us. You know, recently I was on Bible Gateway trying to look at the various translations, and just out the corner of my eye on the screen was something flashing on and off. It was either a holiday or a pair of shoes, or I don't know what it was. So I actually had to get a piece of paper and block out the flashing image so that I could focus on the Word of God. That is how demanding the world is right now. And then finally, we have the fruitful soil. God's heart for you and for me is that we're fruitful. And you might say to me, well, what do you think fruitfulness looks like? I mean, I'm the sort of person that asks that question. I'd say, well, what do you mean fruitful? Well, I think fruitful means doing the best with whatever God has given you to do right now. You might be a carer. You might be looking after children. You might be in a job. You might be in ministry. Whatever you're in, it's just do the best that you can do with what God has given you. That is what he calls us to be fruitful with. You know, deep roots will produce good fruit. And God calls us to focus on the roots, putting in the seed, focusing on the roots, because then we will have good fruit. I just want to show you an image. Hopefully it'll come up here. Let's see if it comes. Now, can you see that? It's Tim next to a plant. Can you see that? Well, Gareth very kindly gave us some tomato plants a little while ago. And they were about 8 inches tall because they were really lovely tomatoes. So Tim thought he'd like to grow some. So we put a pot outside the back door. And I am not kidding you, this plant is over 6 feet tall. Well, I went online and the average height for a tomato plant is 4 foot. So we have got this amazing thing going on out in our backyard. And actually our neighbor said to us, is this, you know, those beans, you know, where you, Jack and the Beanstalk. He said, are you doing Jack and the Beanstalk? Because this thing is growing up next to his fence. And I thought, why is it that Tim has grown this most ginormous tomato plant? And it's because he put nearly a whole bag of compost in that pot. He's not very good at gardening. I mean, he's not bad, but he's not great. He's learning. And so he put a whole bag of compost in there. Well, with so much nutriment, with so much goodness going on, this tomato plant couldn't fail but to be over 6 feet tall. And I bet if you talk to Gareth, I bet Gareth doesn't have a tomato plant that is over 6 feet tall. We'll have to ask him, but I don't think he has. You see, the great thing about that tomato plant was that it was well nourished. It had lots of nutriment in it. Fruit people, if you're bearing fruit, you're not exceptional. We're just valuing God's word. Anybody bearing any fruit in their lives is because you've chosen to value God's word. So this morning, I have to remember that as a Christian, I've got to walk through these four places, and quite often, constantly. I can never say as a Christian, while I'm on this planet, that I've arrived. I have to make sure I don't harden my heart. When I hear a word from God, if someone brings a prophecy, if I hear someone preach, I will choose not to align myself with Satan. And I will not let the birds of the air come in and steal the seed and make a mess of my life, because I will take the seed deep into me. And I will choose not to snack on God's word. I will choose to spend less time on social media and a bit more time in this. Put it down in my heart so I can grow some deep roots. And I will choose kingdom principles rather than worldly priorities. And then I will patiently and persistently build my roots so they are strong, so that in due season the Lord can reap a harvest from me and from you. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you gave us Jesus, but you also gave us your word. Father, I pray for us, everybody that can hear my voice, my passion, my desire is they will not let go of the word of God. That we will value it. That we will see that this is the best seed that anybody could ever take into their lives. And Father, our prayer is that as your people, we will bear good fruit.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. That's fantastic. My tomato plants are not 6 feet tall, but I did chop the tops out of them, so they stopped growing. But then they got to about 4 feet, I reckon. So there we go. I have a glut of tomatoes in my house at the moment. What a good thing it would be if we had a glut of good fruit from the people in our church, where we had so many we didn't know what to deal with them. If anyone wants some tomatoes, feel free to come to my house and pick some up. I'll leave them in a bag outside or something. Great. Thank you, Sue. That's really fantastic. And you know, what a challenge it is to us, as the Word of God should be, that we get our heart in the right place, that we get the soil right. The soil is the key. You know, the seed of the Word of God is the same. But what's the soil of our heart? And so thanks, Sue. Really, that's been fantastic. And God bless you. Thanks very much. Ian's going to just lead us as we close with a song. I've just asked him, and I've already forgotten, Ancient of Days. It's the new Ancient of Days, which I can't remember the first line of.